Good afternoon, everybody, after lunch. Hope everybody's awake. It's a good time to go here on the first day of the conference. I'm going to talk about what we do at Trek Bikes to collaborate in our enterprise and take you through a tour of all the different things we do and things we're thinking about doing, and hopefully you can get some good insights for your organization to take back. So, just give a quick intro. So about me, I'm Steve Novoselic, Director of Digital Technology. I have my blog up there, my Twitter, tweet me if you want. My email address is if you want to hit me up. I figured, you know, they make you put a presenter pick up on the speaker portal, and I was like, I have to put in my time I was biking with my Yammer jersey on, and so there it is. That was in New Orleans, actually, so pretty cool. And then there's my bike. It matches. So I had the bike before, so I was planning ahead. Those are Azure colors, too, Windows Azure. So Trek was in 1976. We were founded. We're in Waterloo, Wisconsin. It's, I think, about negative 10 there right now. So I'm not minding the weather here. We're worldwide. We're all over the place, 26 offices, privately owned, so we can do what we want. 1,800 employees, probably 1,300 or so information workers. There's, you know, manufacturing and other employees that aren't necessarily using these tools. We build bikes. That's our main business. We sell bikes to independent bike dealers, and they sell them to consumers. So who here has a Trek bike? Anybody? Wow, a lot of people. Awesome. Who doesn't? Okay. Just kidding. So we do more than that, though. We have like a software development company inside of Trek. We actually build the point of sale software for our dealers and sell it to them. We do a bike sharing company. It's called B-Cycle. It's all around the country. Madison, Charlotte, Houston. There's, I think, about 25 cities. So if you ever see B-Cycle, check that out. Just a quick shout out to the team around all this stuff. So we have our BI developers and DBA. We have an organization for enterprise collaboration at Trek that encompasses SharePoint, CRM, and Yammer, and a multitude of other things. Some analysts and specialists around BI, and then our development team. These are the people that are most active on Twitter and out there and blogging and stuff. So they do a lot of these things, or I tell them to do them and they do them. So I figured I'd put these guys in here. So quick agenda, where we were, where we are, where we're going, pretty simple, and then some headwinds and tailwinds. We like to talk about that in a bike company. If you're a biker, you know what I'm talking about. And then just to say, you know, we have many things going on, many projects, integrations all over the place, and this is just kind of a high-level, quick overview of some of those things. So if anybody wants to talk to me after about what we're doing, tweet me, whatever, we can talk about it. There's a lot going on at Trek. So where we were. All started with SharePoint. And here was our initial architecture back in, I don't know, 2009. SharePoint Enterprise, we had 2007 running that was kind of just set up. And we had SharePoint 2010 going, and we had reporting services. SharePoint 2007 was used for projects and some document storage, and SharePoint 2010 was an intranet. It was diverged. It was separate. They weren't even branded the same. We kind of just set them up on a whim. We didn't really plan much, and it was kind of a mess. So that's kind of where we were. We had BI in one spot. We had Yammer. That was a separate thing. We had line of business apps that were all over. There was no governance. It was more like a hobby or toy back then. I'd say this is probably maybe 2008, 2009. And then we said, let's fix this. And we said, okay, let's actually make the intranet. Let's make it the intranet. Let's get rid of 2007. Let's combine on one platform. And so we did is we took a look at our public website, which is trekbikes.com, and we said, let's make our intranet look like that, very similar. And so you can see here on the left and right the different sites. And, you know, it just helps people, you know where we are and where they are when they're internal. And you can see we actually just changed our logo on the left, and we haven't updated the intranet yet, which is great. So yeah, back then it was just kind of just me doing a lot of this stuff, or you know, someone in IT. And so we hired a SharePoint admin. We started putting governance in place. React architected the entire infrastructure for SharePoint instead of the two different farms and whatever we had going on. Combined things, you know, had a big project to combine stuff, move stuff around, get rid of things we weren't using. But then we started now we have this intranet and we're doing communications and there's stuff here. It's the home page for people when they open up their browser, that type of thing. Let's start moving business processes into SharePoint. And so we looked at IT and finance where we had business processes out in the wild that were just bad or not managed at all. And so we took a look at two of them. And one of them on the left for a capital money, for a request for money. It was an Excel spreadsheet, Excel like 2003, had macros, it was emailing people. I mean, just a horrible thing. So we took that and let's put it in SharePoint. All of a sudden, everyone's like, well, this is where we go to do this. Great, easy way to get people to start using SharePoint. Other thing was in IT for change management. Change management was a piece of paper you filled out, and we're like, okay, let's put this in SharePoint. So we did this with many other processes, and so we started growing our intranet as the hub to where to go to do these things. And I'll talk about a little bit more about the change management piece, because we have some cool integrations that we've done since then. Then I'd like to get into Yammer, and we'll come back to SharePoint, but I want to talk about Yammer. So we started with Yammer. I think I signed us up in September of 2008. So that was a long time ago. Yammer looked a lot different. I think it was like fuchsia and brown, and one big box. It was cool. But they've iterated, and you know we were using it. I started getting my teams to use it exclusively. We started getting other business people using it. But it was really seen as a thing in IT to start. It was seen as a toy at best and a nuisance at worst. Like people are like, what is this Yammer thing? Like they didn't understand it. And this was probably, you know, 2-3 years ago. So we were like, let's figure out a way to get things integrated into Yammer. How can we use Yammer for everything? And you know, when Microsoft bought Yammer, it was awesome because we were already trying to integrate things before then with Yammer, so with SharePoint and Yammer and all these other apps. And it's like, wow, Yammer and Microsoft together at last, and touchdown, right? It just made our lives so much easier. If we could finally stop saying this Yammer thing over here, it's just one thing. An example, what really got Yammer off the ground was IT outages. So we figured a way, how do we get people using this? Let's start communicating when servers are going to be down or if something goes down and it's an emergency. And let's get everybody on it. Let's get executives on it. And you know, back then, Yammer could SMS. And so we had it SMSing some of the executives. It was really good. What really grew it, though, is when our SAN went down, which our email was working off of, and there was no way to communicate. People were like, how do we communicate? I'm like, get on Yammer. Right then and there, it was sold. Business was like, this is great. Everyone was signing up for Yammer, and so it got people on it. So if you really want to get Yammer, take your email down. Shut it off. I'm kidding, but. And then you can see, we got our finance group on there, and you can see there's a thread here, and it's probably a little bit hard to read, but it's like, my password's expired. It's a weekend. I need to do, you know, CFO work. Help me. Here you go. Fixed it. And then it's like, awesome. You know, and he said, I admit it, Yammer is in fact a useful tool for finance people as well. And so it just started changing people's minds about what it actually was. Like people had a hard time understanding it, but they started using it more and more. And what we want to do is make it pervasive around the organization. So throughout the org, we use LCDs that we put up, and we have reports, like key reports on them, and we also put Yammer feed on the side. So as you're walking around the hall, you can just kind of be ambient aware of what's going on in the organization at any time. You can stop and take a look. It's great. So it was Yammerfall, now it's Feedfall. It's a third-party app with Yammer, but check it out if you have Yammer and put it up on the screen. It makes people are viewing Yammer and looking at it, even though they maybe not engaging very highly. They can at least see what's going on. The other thing we did is we created this thing called Post to Yammer. And what it does is, so you saw in the keynote this morning where you could post a document, like a link to a document, and that's great, but we wanted to have list items in SharePoint post to Yammer, a link to the list item. So if someone added a list item, automatically post that to Yammer. And so, like, you know, you can see here it's like, I don't know, 50 lines of code. This is probably half the program, and it's just, what it does is it, you know, looks at a list, and if it sees a new item that, like, a flag hasn't been set on it, it posts it over to Yammer to whatever group you configure, and there it is, and then it links back. So there's a blog post here, and this is from David Peterson. He's on my team. He's an enterprise collaboration guy on how to do that. So if you get a chance, check that out. And here's an example. Our corporate communications team posts something on the intranet. Here you go. There's a new professional development series training coming up. And on the right, we post it to Yammer automatically. So we have an announcements user. It posted out. You can see we actually, it's probably hard to see, but it actually says posted by, and it at mentions the person who posted it to the intranet. So if someone replies on Yammer, they get the notification. So then they can have a discussion around that announcement that was posted to SharePoint. So this featured stories on the left is just a list that we're showing. So a lot of opportunities with that, and we do a lot of things with that. Let's see. So BI, I talk about BI. I love BI, and I love that Microsoft is doing Power BI. I love that they show it. I actually started at Trek, and BI was my first foray into the tech groups at Trek. I actually see BI as something like Yammer, pervasive across all different systems. Like, you're either pulling data from or trying to push data to show things like reports or graphs or whatever. So BI is one of those things. It's not just like its own little system. It should be across everything. But anyway, so before SharePoint, we had some older BI, some SQL 2000, Cubes, 2005 and 2008. We're using OLAP. I don't know, multi-dimensional cubes. It's probably bad to say legacy at this point, but that's kind of what it is now with SSRS and pivots. And then we moved into SQL 2012. But we read the tea leaves, and we were like, Microsoft is going to say, or pushing that everything is going to be in SharePoint for BI. Like, they're not really investing a ton in SSRS. Seems like Power Pivot and, you know, Performance Point that's in SharePoint and even integration with SSRS in SharePoint is the way to go. So we saw that and we went with it. So we integrated SSRS. We took our native mode SSRS reports that everyone was hitting just off on its own and said, let's put this in SharePoint. And all of a sudden, we saw a 30% uptick in usage in SharePoint because people were now going to SharePoint and then clicking around on other places and discovering other things. People said, well, what is this thing that I'm in now? I'm not in my report manager. I'm in SharePoint. This is the intranet. Well, what else can we do here? If we can do reports, what else can we do? So we had a goal to make SharePoint the one-stop shop for documents and processes and BI. You can just kind of see now, we made the intranet, and then we said, let's put some business processes. Now let's move our BI here. So it started to become a hub. And then, you know, we evolved further in BI with Performance Point and Power Pivot in SharePoint and Power View in SharePoint. And now there's Power BI, and I'll talk a little bit about that later, but, you know, the first iterations from Microsoft were integrate this into your on-premises SharePoint. And so that's what we did. Another cool thing we really did with BI is taking SharePoint data and making it valuable outside of SharePoint. And how do you do that? Well, there's a blog post, and I'll have an example of that in the next slide. But you know, SharePoint lists they expose themselves as OData. And OData is really cool. It's one of the coolest things. If you're ever at a conference, always go to all the OData sessions. You're going to learn a ton. So you can hit that now with Excel, with like Power Query, but we wanted to pull that into our cube. We wanted to pull that list data into the cube. So we use SSIS for an ETL tool and, you know, pull that list data using OData into the cube. So all of a sudden, we have a very lightweight master data management tool in SharePoint. Create a list, that's maybe, you know, whatever, between 100 or 500 items, give it to business people to manage the contents, and then we pull that every time we refresh the cube, and it updates in the cube. And the Global Bike Challenge is something I'll talk about in a couple slides too, so we'll get back to that. But here's this making SharePoint data valuable. So on the left-hand side, a SharePoint list, a list of vendors. So he said, okay, accounting or whoever, manage the vendors that have some very specific rules that aren't in our, maybe aren't in our ERP system, like there are exceptions. Our ERP team doesn't want to add these columns or flags or something, and you want to manage this list of the sub-list of vendors. And so we pull that into the cube, and there it is. And it works really well, and we do it all over the place. It's not just with this one example. So think about that with SharePoint. How can you take the data in SharePoint and use it outside of SharePoint? On the last slide, I talked about the bike challenge. So we did a bike challenge. We do one every year. It's ran by Endomondo, and this year we went pretty heavy in it, and we created teams, 85 teams around Trek, random people, 15 to 17 people on a team, global, and people are logging their miles and their rides, and we said, well, let's pull this data down. Let's pull it down. Let's make this something in SharePoint. So we had the leaderboard. We had SSRS reports integrated, and this is one of them. We had the Yammer group tied to it. People were getting, you know, alerts from SSRS. The CEO of the company every morning would come in and look at the sales numbers and where his team was on the bike challenge. I mean, that's how big this was. So it really drove everyone to SharePoint. It was another way for us, even though this is not maybe, you know, business value, like what's the ROI on this? It makes people happy, right? And then we got people to go to SharePoint and use it because of this. So it was just another reason to get people to go here, which is we thought was great. So think about that when you use SharePoint, is what can you do outside of just business processes? What are some fun things you can do in SharePoint? So to the cloud. The cloud is one of the big things I talked about this morning too. And we're pretty invested in the cloud. Last year we actually did a case study with Microsoft, my development team, on our usage of Windows Azure, if you want to check that out. And you can see there's a quote here from me, actually, that's on the front page of Windows Azure. So we are invested in this stuff. But what we did is around SharePoint, and people say, well, I can run on-premises SharePoint, and I can run, you know, SharePoint online. But there's an in-between thing you can do. So we took Azure Infrastructure as a Services, and we're running SharePoint on that. So it's like on-prem, but in the cloud. And Azure is just VMs. And so AscendRMS.com, that's our point-of-sale software. We are actually running that on SharePoint 2013 on infrastructure as a services, so you can do that. And then there's case studies out on our usage of Azure there, and I'll just give an example of the site. So before, it was just a PHP site running a colo somewhere, very basic. And what we did is when we moved it, we rebranded it, and we added integrations. You can see it's SharePoint. I don't know if you can tell, but we have some integrations here too, and you can see it's a public-facing website, but we have a Yammer button up there in the right. And it's why do we do that? That's our external network that we have for our dealers that use this software. We have a Yammer external network. And I'll talk a little bit about that as we go through the slides here. But we say, here's how you can connect with us. Yammer, Twitter, our Twitter account, and user voice. We have a user voice forum for them to submit ideas. And we have an integration on the side there for that as well. And we actually do that internally in our intranet with a, you know, share an idea. And it looks like it's part of the intranet. We branded it. Let's see. So where we are. From that first slide, we had SharePoint 2007 and SharePoint 2010. Now we're on SharePoint 2013 on premises. Two front ends, an app, two app servers, a database. We still have a native mode SSRS box. And the reason for that is we built up SSRS so much around the organization that other groups outside of business intelligence started learning and using it. Our ERP team, ERP analysts, and we run JD Edwards, they're like, this is awesome. We can do subscriptions, we can do snapshotting, and they're hitting, you know, DB2 with SSRS, and it's like one of the biggest use cases that we have. And some of those reports, we kind of just let them manage them, and we say, let's put them on native mode. Like, if when they were ready to move them to SharePoint, they can. So we use that there. And there's a couple other quirky things that, you know, we ran into with SharePoint, so we still have some things in native mode. But for the most part, it's all in SharePoint. We also have Office 365, and I'll talk a little bit about that. So we did the upgrade. It wasn't too hard or bad or anything. I mean, we just had to plan it out. We took advantage of search, and I'll talk about an application of search that we did that was really cool. Better integration with Office 2013. It's a big win for us. And then the Office web apps in SharePoint on-premises, which, you know, Office Online. I mean, the branding is kind of murky right now, and things are changing, like, as we speak. Like, last week, everything just changed, so I'm sure there's a lot of confusion around some of the branding. So, but the Office web apps in SharePoint, they got way better in 2013, and we really like that. But the search application. So our warranty team came to us and said, we want to analyze images. Okay. Should we go build an application? Should we, you know, do something? And we're like, I don't know. Well, we have all this data that we're pulling from the database that has all the claim data, and we have all these images sitting just on a file share. What can we do? Well, let's have SharePoint index them. So we use SSIS, pulled in the data, pulled in the images, threw it into SharePoint, tied them together with, you know, metadata, and had SharePoint index it all. Now, warranty guy can go search SharePoint, just say, you know, blue frame or bottom bracket or what, you know, whatever they want to find, and it'll search all the images with that metadata attached to it. Then they can go and take these images and look at them all, number one, and say, wow, these are all the same problem. Or I can see it's all cracking in the same spot or whatever. They can get back to our suppliers for different parts. And before, they could never really look at these images. It was just like onesie-twosie. And this is just SharePoint search. There really isn't anything past that. And they think it's an application. So it's you know, what really got us thinking and what got me thinking about using this is, I don't know if anybody ever looked at Pivot Viewer. Back in the day, it was a Silverlight thing that you could throw images at it, and you could slice and dice the images, and you could have some metadata around it. It was like the coolest thing. And, you know, it got taken down when Silverlight kind of, you know, got pushed aside. But I saw this. I saw some search, demos from SharePoint 2013. I'm like, man, that is Pivot Viewer. It took that, even like the sliders for numbers and everything. So when someone came to me and said, hey, can we analyze images? It's like, well, this is perfect application for that. So think about that. New projects and integrations that we're working on and doing. So Knowledge Lake is something we're trying to do is reduce paper consumption in just our Waterloo office. Like, what can we do to reduce paper? And so using Knowledge Lake and integrating it so we can integrate applications, you know, other line of business applications, but also it's all integrated into SharePoint to make it paperless. So we're working right now with, you know, taking a bunch of documents and forms that different groups have, like HR or accounting, and putting them into Knowledge Lake, into SharePoint. One thing I didn't mention, we also run CRM online, Microsoft CRM online. And actually, David, the enterprise collaboration guy, is at Convergence right now, which is at the same time as a SharePoint conference, down there with the Dynamics team. And so we think, how can we integrate SharePoint with CRM? And you might say, well, it already has integrations. You can save documents from CRM into SharePoint. Okay, but how can we make other data useful and make it kind of seamless? So we took DataView web part and I framed it. So a list of links can show up in CRM, but we can manage it in SharePoint. We don't have to like publish anything in CRM. Someone else can actually manage that list. And so you can see here, on the left-hand side, we have a list of links. These are actually BI reports for reps, sales reps. And on the right, that's what it looks like in CRM. So they just think it's part of CRM. They have no idea that it's a SharePoint list. When they click on it, it goes to the SSRS report, or it might open Excel, like the pivot table in the web. Like, they have no idea that it's not CRM. So Yammer. We kept growing Yammer, and we still are. Pretty much 90, 95% of the people at Trek are on Yammer, using it in some way, shape, or form. We were the first company, so we're told, to integrate and use Yammer and CRM in production. So with CRM online, you can actually integrate Yammer. And so all these things are starting to come together. So SharePoint's integrating with Yammer, CRM's integrating with Yammer. Now people don't really know what tool they're using where. No matter which avenue they come in from. They come in from SharePoint, we have Yammer integrated, and there's feeds integrated. They come in from CRM, there's Yammer feeds integrated. They come into Yammer, they see all the content from SharePoint and CRM. So it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to get the same content and experience, or we try to make it that way. So more groups are starting to use Yammer and see the benefit of Yammer. It started with IT and then finance, and then you start getting HR using it, you start getting your product people using it, you start getting product managers using it for actual like bike products. Someone this morning, I was sitting in the keynote, and they're like, "Oh, you're from Trek." They're like, "Yeah, I have a Gary Fisher mountain bike." I'm like, "Yeah, you know Gary Fisher is a real guy." He's like, "Yeah, he is." I'm like, "Yeah, he is." And I'm like, "He's on Yammer. It's so cool. Like, he'll go out and post. This is an interesting thing. Like, I found this on Kickstarter or whatever." And it's like, if you're into cycling, that's like the coolest thing. That's like a win. That's like the biggest win right there. Like, Gary Fisher's posting on our Yammer network, on a weekly basis. So that's really cool. Using integration services to move the content around, like I've talked about. But then external networks is a big one. And I don't know if anybody's ever used external networks in Yammer. But we saw the benefit of this early on. And, when we started with Yammer, before Microsoft, they had the customer success managers were more in tune, or not more in tune, but more involved, I guess, on a one-on-one basis with companies when it was just kind of Yammer. That model's kind of changed, and they're following the Microsoft model, but everybody got like invited to the YCN. And I don't know if anybody's in the YCN. And we saw that, and I'm like, man, that is just like our customers. Why don't we have an ACN? So for Ascend, the point of sale software, why don't we create an ACN? Wow, okay, so we did that. And then B-Cycle, the bike sharing, we use a bunch of different vendors for the kiosks, for the software, for a bunch of different things. Let's make a network for that. And we have a bunch of other external networks as well. We have external networks with groups from Microsoft. It's a great way to say, how can I collaborate on a project with a different company, let's say. Instead of having to invite those, contractors or people into your network, just create an external network for that project. It might be short-lived, it might be long-lived, but you can actually, go and collaborate with them and not use email. And you'll see some groups, external companies, here's what we've seen, is they'll be like, "What is this?" Just like an internal, right? "Well, we use email, right, or whatever," and then they start using it, and they're like, "Wow, this is great. We're going to start using this with our other clients." And it's like, "Yeah, that's awesome, right?" And it just the transparency level with an external network, it just holds people accountable when you're working on these external projects. So think about using external networks if you get the chance. And I'll show a couple of examples or. Quotes from some of that external networks, but integration services now, not SQL Server integration services, which we do use all over the place. But how do we pull in content from different web applications or business applications? Well, I don't know if you've ever heard of If This Then That. It's a website that lets you tie different services together. So your OneDrive to email, or email the text, or the text me when the weather is above 60 degrees. Or I think now even with, I just saw there's an integration, if you're using this thing for your car, that it'll text people or post on Facebook if you're driving over 70 miles an hour. So we use that. And Zapier, which I really didn't even realize that API was in the name until I put this logo up here. I'm like, wow. So that's cool. So here's an example of that. So if this and that. We said, so one problem we have, and I'm guessing a lot of companies might have this, and maybe not, but our marketing team would post to Facebook and Twitter and all over social media, and the employees wouldn't know. Like, the employees aren't watching the Facebook feed. They're working. So we said, how, and the biggest example is this, is one day I saw a post. I just happened to go out on, like, Facebook or Twitter or something, and I saw Bo Jackson's in the building today. I'm like, wow, that is a cool thing. Wouldn't everybody want to know that Bo Jackson's here today? Wasn't posted anywhere internally. It was posted all over externally, but nobody knew internally. So how can we solve this? I mean, you know, sometimes you ask a group to help out or do something, they might say, we don't have time for that, right? Like, we're focused on external marketing. Okay, fine, we'll figure out a way to get the content in here anyways. So using if this and that, they post to Facebook, we automatically post the Yammer. And then the people can have a discussion on it in Yammer. It's pretty cool. So here's a quote from our general manager of Ascend, the software product we sell. You know, really likes how transparent conversations with our dealers can benefit others. The dealers can start working with other dealers, so the customers are working with customers. They have a voice into us directly. They don't necessarily have to put in a support ticket, but they can give us praise. They can ask questions. They can just say, "Hey, I'm kind of thinking this," and we can give them feedback. So it's a good thing to do there. And then from our B-Cycle director of ops, you know, people can track the progress of issues without needing to get overwhelmed with email. And that's the key. I've been on threads, and I'm sure you guys have too, where there's 100 emails. And pretty soon you're just like, ignore this. But in Yammer, things seem to get resolved faster. And they also, they can bubble back up to the top, where an email just kind of can go somewhere to die. We've seen just tremendous gains in productivity and being able to solve issues and solve problems with each other and now with our external partners and with our customers by using Yammer. So, I mean, Yammer is a key piece in all of this collaboration stuff that we're doing. You think you can see from this morning where they showed the integration on alongside of Office and in SharePoint and how the deeper integrations that, you know, they're committed to making Yammer even better, and so keep your eye on that one. I mean, it's good stuff. And here's an example of our customer network. Pretty, just looks like a basic Yammer network. Got the Ascend logo up in the top, and dealers can, a dealer posted, I'm pretty proud of our staff here. We finished our inventory training this week. And we can say, awesome, that's awesome. Good job, right? There's a user voice integration. You can see the user voice bot. So somebody, even though they post it in the user voice, we throw that into Yammer so we can have conversations around it in Yammer. Okay. Office Mobile and Office Online. So with Office Mobile, like on your iPhone or on Android or Windows Phone, now you can, and this recent, and this really changed the game for us, is the ability to link multiple accounts. And I've had multiple conversations this week already with people that are like, what do you do when you have your personal Microsoft account and your work Microsoft account and your Office 365 account, and how do you keep it all straight? Where do you put your documents, and what do you do? And so Microsoft has taken strides to make that easier. We're now in like OneNote or Office Mobile. I can, sign in, but I can also add my org account so I can see content from both of those and open them up instead of having to switch accounts all the time. So that's really helped us. I think, you take a look at the OneDrive for business and personal OneDrive, it's kind of the same thing. And now that there's apps for both of those in the app stores, and you know, you can get all your content, whether it's your personal content or your work content, all on your device. And getting your docs anywhere, that's a key thing. And so, you know, we hear from users like, well, I use this tool because I can do this. And we can't really come back to them unless there's an option. And now the options are being created by, you know, some of these changes in Office Mobile and OneNote Mobile. You know, the Yammer and Office Online integration. So I don't know if everybody uses Yammer a lot. Previously, when you clicked on a document that someone would upload into Yammer, it might open up in a preview mode, kind of like a really kind of weird read-only, or it would download it to your computer, kind of what we don't want to happen because you don't want all these copies of files everywhere. And now, in like the last, I don't know, 3 weeks, if you click on a PowerPoint or click on a Word doc or Excel, it opens up Office Online. You can actually edit the document right there, and it saves it right in Yammer. We use it all the time now. It's like even in the last 3 weeks, I'm like, here's an Excel workbook. Add your name to this, say for, you know, something, or we're working out some pricing for something or whatever, and I can throw it up there, and we work on it right in Yammer. But before, it was like, here's a copy, upload another copy. So that integration and changes is really awesome. People always ask me, too, like, and I was just at lunch, SharePoint, you can save docs. Yammer, you can save docs. What do you do? What do you tell people? What tool when? That's a big question always. And you see that with Link and Skype. You see that with Yammer and SharePoint. File, you know, shared drives. And I say, I think it doesn't matter. It depends. As long as you can search and find it, that's kind of the number one thing I look for. But I think if you really get down to it, if you want to more fine-grained control the security of the document, upload it to SharePoint. So you can still have a public group in Yammer that maybe you say, hey team, here's this document, and you share it from SharePoint, you put the link in there, but you can control the security in SharePoint. So you might have someone from another group come into your group and read that, but you don't want them to see that document for whatever reason. You control that security in SharePoint, they click on it, they're not gonna be able to get it. I kind of see also, you know, long-term repositories of documents is more SharePoint. That's how we treat it, where, you know, attachments in email are more like what a file that it might upload to a Yammer thread. But yeah, that's something that your users are going to come back to you with all the time. What tool went? I have too many tools, too many things coming at me. We can just hope it gets better, right? You see Yammer and SharePoint deeper integrations, you know, things like that. It's going to make things easier over time. But yeah, it's something that you want to have a good answer for your end users. You want to have a matrix to say, use this tool here. And there's overlap. There's gray area on a lot of things. So, but having a good way to communicate that out is key, not just because they're going to ask it. So the OneDrive for Business. So it's kind of confusing because, you know, there's my sites in SharePoint, and we had, you know, SharePoint 2007, then 2010, and then 2013. Now it's OneDrive. So we always told people, put stuff on your My site. And now it's OneDrive for Business. And then there's the one, you know, OneDrive for Business, you know, on premises, and then on, you know, Office 365. So we have, you know, there's some nomenclature issues there in communicating, but I think, you know, we have people using these tools, and we have an internal audit team that they're using OneDrive for Business and Office on the Office 365 side, and they're using it to share with external partners. They don't have to email back and forth. They don't necessarily want to create an external Yammer network per se. They want to have more long-form storage for their documents, more structure, a little bit more structure, and be able to share it. So that's what they're using. You know, the growth for our MySite or OneDrive for Business storage has grown massively, and it will continue to grow. We threw this graph in here at the last minute. I know I'm the BI guy. We could do better, but it's grown, you know, tremendously in gigabytes. This is like the last 3 months. So analytics and admin tools. You know, the out-of-the-box functionality for SharePoint for analytics was okay. SharePoint 2010. You know, like I said, being the BI guy, we always want more. We always want to, let's pull it into a cube, let's do this, let's do that. 2013, it seems like the direction was kind of like, we're not really doing analytics, we're just basics. So we said, we need something. Because I need, when an executive comes to me and says, I have a board meeting and I want to show how much we're using this, I need to be able to answer them. And so we're using AvPoint, DocAv, for that, which really makes it easy. And then the other thing, we do a lot of stuff for management and managing our SharePoint farms and you know, administration. One thing, and there's a link to my blog post on the topic, the user profile service. The user profile service has been, you know, had its ups and downs with us over time. And I don't know if anybody's an admin and dealt with the user profile service just resetting itself, and you have to resync everything, and it's kind of finicky, but it works. We wanted to track, you know, underpinning a lot of this stuff in SharePoint, and I just will say it as a tip, is you want your Active Directory to be really clean. Because otherwise you're going to have a bunch of stuff synced over into SharePoint that is just like, you know, non-user accounts, and you want to have your OUs pretty well set. And so what we did is we wanted to track additions and updates and deletions from the user profile server. So, you know, Microsoft SharePoint team might not like me, but we query the databases. We don't write to them, we can query them. And so we write an SSRS report off that. It tells us every day we get an alert. Here's what was added, here's what was updated, and here's what was deleted from the profile sync. So things like that, you wouldn't really get that functionality anywhere. We just kind of created. So take a look at that if you want. You know, just doing a lot of other SSRS and reporting over the different systems and parts and pieces of SharePoint that aren't there. And using PowerShell to do, that's another tip, is to use PowerShell where you can. It makes your life easy. I don't have any specific examples in here or scripts, I don't think. We might have a link to one. But, you know, use the GUI the first couple of times and then use PowerShell if you can, because it's going to make your life easier in the long run. Let's see. So this is an aside. So whenever I hear someone present and they say, switching gears, I say, yeah, I work for a bike company. So switching gears here. Here's our new race team. We just purchased a race team late last year. Previously, we sponsored teams, but we actually own this team now. And they, you know, they're pro cyclists. They're all over the world. They have the liaisons, their trainers, their doctors, their marketing people, whoever are with them traveling. They go do the different tours, tour of Australia, tour de France, tour of Dubai. You get it. So what we did, you know, they came to us with an ask, I don't know, 3-4 months ago, and said, we need an intranet for this new team that we're going to buy. We need somewhere to share documents. We don't want them to be part of the internal corporate Trek network, per se, but we need to have something for them. Great. We'll use Office 365. We'll set that up. We'll have it done in a week, not even. Done. And, you know, then they're like, well, we want email too. Well, great. We'll just turn that right on Office 365. We were like heroes. But the team uses it and they love it. So, like I said, pro cyclists, you know, they've never really had an intranet. The guys that are on the team are like, wow, we've never had this. Every other team we've been on or whoever has managed us, we've never really had a good way to, you know, store documents, you know, calendar, shared calendars. You know, they had email, but who knows what it was. You know, so they're using different devices. All of them are mobile. They're all over the place. They're using Windows. They're using Macs. You know, they're in Europe. They're in South America. They're in Australia. It all works. So that was a really big win for us with Office 365. Like I said, this is all within the last 3 months maybe. I think, you know, November, you know, they just kind of went live on it in January. And so as we move forward with them, we'll say, okay, let's start using other parts of it, like Link, with just these 65, 75 guys. Let's start using Yammer, right? So I think, you know, if you have a use case where you might have a small group of people or maybe a subsidiary or a, you know, another office, and you want to get them moved up quickly, or you want to do something, set them up on Office 365. Set up a tenant for them and just let them use it. So very quick, very easy. It just works. Fun and flexible is a term we like to use. It's not a lot of admin. We didn't have to get servers. We didn't have to do any of that. It just worked. So getting more value with Link Online. We're not on our internal corporate environment. We're not all on Office 365 yet. And I probably bet, if I'm a betting man, I say we will be soon. But we're on Link Online. We had Link on premises, and it worked, but it was hard to get like the mobile pieces working. You had to open up stuff in the firewall, you know, whatever. So let's go to Link Online. So we have the profile data syncing and, you know, search and find. The presence all over in SharePoint and CRM and everywhere, it's really good. So if you're not using Link, I'd recommend, you know, checking it out. But Link Online really made it easy for us to use, say, okay, now all of a sudden, day one, you know, you can use it on your Windows phone, your iPhone, Windows 8 app. You can use it not on VPN. So all these things made it a lot easier to do. Mobile. So mobile is a piece, that's another big term that you heard this morning. And what can we do? And so we always look at projects that are requests that people come to us with and say, is this something we can do mobile? Does mobile make sense here? And so we have a couple different projects that we did, but they're not what you'd think. And when you probably first think mobile, you think, wow, we got to build like a mobile app, you know, deploy it in the App Store or our own internal app deployments, and it's got to do this. And we're like, well, let's not do that. Let's can we use SharePoint? Can we use out-of-the-box SharePoint? But people think they're using a mobile app. Yes, we can. And so SharePlus, I don't know if you ever checked this out. It's in the App Store. And what users just download, and they can connect to different sites and use their authentication. What we did is, so we have a test lab, and you can see the guy here. He's in the test lab. He's taking a picture with the device. I think he's probably using an iPad. Yeah. And he's saving this photo to a list. And it's like, well, this is their mobile app. Well, why are we using this? Why aren't they just taking a picture and, you know, putting it on the computer? Well, they can rename the file as they're uploading it to SharePoint with this. Where before they had to import them all into their computer, go through and rename them. They want them a very specific name. So that's the mobile app to them. SharePlus connected to one site that lets them upload pictures to a doc library. I mean, pretty simple. But these guys, they're using mobile. And they can use, you know, any device now. They can go back to the computer and do what they want. So think about kind of using out-of-the-box SharePoint lists, libraries, you know, document sharing, but using SharePlus, that's your mobile app. It might not be branded the way you might want it branded, you know, does it work? Does it get the job done? And so that's what we did with this group, and we've done with other groups around Trek as well. So switching gears again. We're in the high gear now. Azure, I talked about it a little bit, but using it for dev and test for SharePoint. When you probably think dev test, you think, well, our .NET developers or our other developers are going to go out there and run their code and deploy their code and their web apps and do whatever, and which is all very true. That's a great use case for Azure. But another great use case is for SharePoint admins. And to say, okay, go set up a farm out in Azure, infrastructure as a services. You can go fire up, two web front ends and a database server and two app servers, run it for a day and shut it all down. If you have MSDN, even better, because you get monthly credits that you can use. I think at the highest level, maybe 150 or 200 bucks a month you can use, and you can probably do a bunch of testing with just that credit out on MSDN. And so you don't need to go to your server team every, every day and say, hey, can you build up these VMs for me? And then wait, I need them for a day, tear them down. You can do it, and it works really well. You can automate it all via PowerShell. This is how we quickly iterate and are very agile around what we do from a SharePoint, just architecture changes, testing patches, testing whatever. We run into like a mini bug, let's say, in a configuration or like a report's not working correctly. Let's throw it out to Azure and just test, figure it out. And when we figure it out, then we'll do it on-prem instead of having to have another set of servers. So think about that as another good way to use all the tools at your disposal. So where we are going? Office 365. Like I said, it's the future. And we will be moving everything that way. And I think everything is moving that way, as you saw this morning. The pros to it is you don't need infrastructure. Your infrastructure people, instead of requisitioning servers, instead of dealing with server outages and network cables and whatever, they can architect solutions. That's it's like the next level of infrastructure, IT ops, and I think that's where we want to get to. Power BI is another big pro, and you can see on the right hand side there's a power map that we did. It's a heat map of some bike rides, actually, around Waterloo. You see that big red square? That's the main route that most people ride on in Waterloo, outside of Trek's offices every day in the summer. So that's why there's a lot of red right there. Taking Power BI, Power Pivots, Power Views, Power Map, Power Q&A even, and using those tools. And if you don't know, there's this thing called Data Management Gateway that lets you have a Power BI workbook out on Office 365, and it will refresh the data from your on-prem database. So these are always the challenges that we'd run into. Like, we want to move BI onto the cloud. We want to do this, but all our data is back here. We can't sync all this data. We're not going to move our whole, business systems out here, at least not right now. How can we do this? And so I think, Microsoft's getting it, and it's just going to get better. But those are some of the really great things about that we see with our Office 365, plus all the rest of the things I've talked about already. Some of the challenges that we've seen, and I think you'll see that even this morning, some of that's changing, but around branding and URL issues, especially if you have a big brand or if your company is really into their brand, like Trek is, we don't want trekbikes.sharepoint.com. We want intranet.trekbikes.com. There's these branding things that people need to get over. I don't know if that'll ever change with Office 365, or we'll just have to do it and people won't like it. I mean, it might get to that point, but and I think another thing that's been a challenge for us is migrating their business data from OneDrive on premises to the cloud, and we'll get there. It's running either or, running it all on premises is fine, or running it all in the cloud is fine, but in the hybrid, and I think you saw there's some of the hybrid discussions or at the keynote this morning, even like, oh, just flip the switch and it's going to work, and we'll try that, I hope. but yeah, that's where we're at with that. I think tighter integrations with Yammer is where we're going to. So we have the auto-posting post to Yammer. And it's not really rocket science at all. It's just sending email, right? So we're using the thing we're trying to get rid of to make Yammer wider usage throughout the organization, which is just ironic. So what those apps do is they basically post as email, as the from address of an account, and then it shows up as them. And we'll do that with some subgroups, too. They basically have to just turn off the little setting that says let someone post as you. I mean, it's a minor risk that someone could go write a application to go post things as you, but I think we'd deal with that appropriately. But we'd rather use the API. So it's like converting those things. You know, let's create a social help desk, service desk. Let's tell people to use help desk hashtag and have our help desk people monitoring that. People, when they have a problem with the help desk, it's like, got to put in a ticket. You can't just walk up. They're like, put in a ticket. Well, let's change that. Let's just say, I have a problem. And if someone else sees it, someone else put a problem out there, let's just tag that with help desk. Let's have that flow through the help desk. Let's analyze our data better. Let's export all the data. Let's see who's doing what. Let's see those connections. I think I'm really excited about Oslo and the office graph. That's going to be really interesting. I think that's really going to be something we use, look forward to. And more things we want to do is let's take Office web apps or Office Online, and let's use it with our other line of business apps. So instead of downloading a document somewhere, let's open it up, or let's push that document, store it where it's going to open up with Office Online. So we have a B2B site. It's called Dexter, Dealer Extranet. And we post up Excel docs or Word docs, and they just download, or they, you know, we're doing some third-party kind of integration to display an Office document. Well, let's just use Office Online. Let's figure out how to do that. Let's embed Yammer feeds into these line of business apps. So this dealer extranet, let's put a feed out there for that. We might not necessarily have an external network for that. Maybe we will, but we might. Let's embed feeds wherever we can. Let's put Yammer wherever we can get it. And with Yammer, you know, there's always going to be people that are like, I'm not using Yammer. And it's funny, I was just at lunch, I was talking to somebody, and there was a thread going on, I don't know, a week or so ago at Trek that was, it's about some issue, some sales thing or some question, and there was a guy I knew that adamantly will not use Yammer. And now with the changes that Yammer made where it emails them and they reply back and it posts back to the thread, he's like, here's how you solve this issue, and by the way, I don't use Yammer. And it's like, by the way, you are using Yammer because it's in the thread now. Thank you. So that was, I think that's great. Like you saw the integrations with Outlook, like Outlook online with Office 365, and I'm, you know, hoping the same thing in like Outlook on the desktop. With the Yammer integration, I think that's great. Like, it's just there. It's part of it. The more that it gets embedded or integrated with other systems, the less that your users are going to say, well, this is another place I have to go to. This is another thing. Well, no, it's not. It's Outlook. No, it's not. It's SharePoint. You go to SharePoint every day. This is just another piece of it. You're in Outlook all day. Here's another piece of it. Right? So it's the Yammer tidal wave is coming, and they will not be able to stop it. So... another thing, like Power BI, I think is really, really cool, and there's probably some awesome use cases for it. One is, you know, we have a custom website we do for the point of sale system that we make, and we call it Ascend Analytics. And what it is, it's just a .NET website that has graphs, charts over a data warehouse. Dealer logs into it, they can see their data. And a few years ago, we were like, well, they want to slice and dice their data. Well, let's just expose a cube out to them, so an OLAP cube. Each dealer has their own cube. We have a third-party, you know, control that lets you hit a cube and slice and dice it in the web. Awesome. So it's awesome, but it's also, you know, we're scaling it. We have, you know, 1,000 OLTP databases that go into a data warehouse, and we have 300 OLAP cubes that process every night or, you know, on demand. So there's some architectural, you know, challenges there, but then I'm like, well, Power BI, wow, what can we do with that? Well, could we change the charts and graphs to be Excel workbooks that are, you know, using Power View in them? Could we expose a Power Pivot to slice and dice? Even better, could we use Power Q&A? So that bike shop owner who's not technical at all, great at selling bikes, great at fixing bikes, but he's not a computer guy, could go up to the monitor or go up to the screen and type, what were my sales yesterday? In natural language and get the result? I think that'd be awesome. Can we do it? I don't know. It comes back to the scale question. How can I run 1,000 Office 365 tenants? Who's going to manage all those? Are they going to be one? Are they going to be 1,000 different ones? So those are the types of things we're thinking about and trying to figure out how to do. You know, mobile apps too, like creating mobile apps internally, like the ones that you would think of as well. I was at a conference, about a month ago at Qualcomm, which is a really cool campus. And they have an internal app store. And some of the apps they have are just like a company directory, right? Like just an app that you go and just type in a person's name and it finds them. You know, things like that. Let's use SharePoint. Let's use SharePoint and Yammer and all this data we have and make a company directory or whatever. So let's do that. Let's offer that up to our new employees. Let's offer that up to existing employees. You know, CRM, I touched a little bit on CRM, and since, you know, this isn't convergence, I didn't want to spend a ton of time on CRM. But, like, CRM, when you save a document, it saves it in SharePoint. That's awesome. And I bet if you ask any SharePoint admin about that, if their company's doing that, they're like, but it creates folders. And we hate that. We don't want folders, right? And so let's think about that. Then how, you know, Microsoft may or may not fix that problem, but let's come up with a custom solution to do that, right? So that's what we're thinking about. And a lot more. Headwinds and tailwinds. So I haven't ridden outside since October because in Wisconsin it's cold. I've been on the trainer, so I forgot what headwinds and tailwinds are like. But I'm looking forward to it once the spring comes. Headwinds. So not every project that we do is a success. Not everything is awesome. Ramp was a project we did. Research, analytics, mobile project, I think it stood for. You know, our research team was interested in a place to have research materials, discussion on things, and BI. Sounds like a perfect use case for SharePoint, BI, and Yammer, right? It's just like they're asking for the exact things that we have. So let's do that. We took, you know, SharePoint, and took unstructured data and made it semi-structured by adding some metadata around it. We had the auto-posting Yammer if they wanted to. We had feeds pulled in from RSS and our Twitter. We had BI integrations. Problem is, it just never got used, right? So it's not necessarily the solutions that you architect. It's, are the people actually going to use it? The group that maybe is requesting the solution, are they invested enough to actually use it? Are they going to do that or kind of just keep doing the same things they were doing? And we tried many things. We said, well, let's just create a Yammer group for you. Use the Yammer group. If you can show us that you use the Yammer group, then we will make this app. They kind of did, and we're like, okay, but we really need this for it to work. Okay, we'll do this. And, you know, it failed, right? It failed. And we learned from our mistakes, and we used some of the things that we learned in this in other projects. Here's an example of that. I think this is probably just an early, you know, screenshot demo. There's no feed from the Twitter on the left-hand side, but we had, you know, click here to share a story or a rider experience or a trend, and it would auto-post the Yammer, but it would put that metadata around it. And it was pretty cool, actually. You know, things are moving really fast, and, you know, some of the headwinds for us here are, you know, we think Office 365 is awesome, and it is awesome, but it's not 100% there for us to move everything as fast as we want. Like I said, the branding, which I think we saw some changes with that, even announced this morning. But one of the big things, and this is like a killer for me, because SSRS is like the boat anchor for us, which is kind of a shame because people like it, it works, you know, it can send PDFs, Excel, whatever. But since we have so much SSRS, there isn't really a corollary exactly like that in Office 365. So we have to run SSRS on-prem, and since we bet on putting it all in SharePoint, we're going to be stuck with that in SharePoint on-premises. So until we can figure out how to change that, or the tools or Power BI evolves enough for us to change so we can have subscriptions and things that people are, we can't take that away from people. They're not going to let us. And so that's kind of a headwind. The other thing is ubiquity. We know it'd be great if everyone ran Surface Pro 2s and, you know, Lumia devices, But they don't. I don't even. I mean, I run everything. But, you know, it's hard for us to say, well, put everything here, but then it won't work for you. So, like, the people that have Macs, there is no OneDrive for Business for Mac. It's a thing that we run into all the time. Like, I'm going to sync my documents from SharePoint onto my Mac. Well, there's document connection, and we can use SharePlus, but it's not really... Well, I want to open up my OneNotes on my Mac. Well, we can't do that either. Well, why should I use you guys, right? So, I mean, it's lucky that we have a small percentage of Macs, so we can kind of deal with it. But, I mean, those are kind of the things that we run into. I mean, the other thing is Chrome, and even Safari, Firefox, some of those things present challenges with SharePoint. I'm sure you guys run into it. Like, use SharePoint, everyone's like, yeah, and then they go and open with Explorer, doesn't work. Or kick out a list to Excel, doesn't work. Like, some of the coolest things in SharePoint don't work on these other browsers, and so you might run into some headwinds with that stuff. And we do, and we just have to work around it, you know, and come up with solutions. You know, Tailwinds. I don't have a lot here because I talked about a lot of it, and a lot of it was the momentum that we have from all that stuff. But, you know, early adoption to things as a IT pro or an IT department or even just business thinking, you know, it keeps you in the know and it keeps you current. So get current and stay current. Like, you don't want to be stuck on SharePoint 2007. You don't want to be stuck on Excel Office 2003 or Windows XP. I mean, April 8th is coming. You're still on it, by the way. The more you stay up on the current things, it's going to be easier for you to do things, right? You don't have to worry about it. Like I said, experiment and try things. Come up with crazy ideas. Look at some of the things we've done, and this is just, you know, not even everything. Try things. And, you know, assume that you're going to fail sometimes, but celebrate the wins that you get. If you can get your CEO using SharePoint and he doesn't know it, that's a win, right? If you can get that guy who hates Yammer using it and he doesn't know it, that's a win. Like, how can you get people, how can you drive user adoption? Just think about every different way you can drive user adoption. And I always say, I think I say this at every presentation, you know, the only reason grandparents are on Facebook is that's the only place they're going to get pictures of their grandkids. So if you put it in SharePoint, say this is the only place you can get it, they're going to go there. You put it in Yammer, they're going to go there. And if they don't, they're going to be left behind. They're not going to be engaged. They're not going to be involved. They're going to miss out on things, and then they will be involved. You know, what I mentioned a couple times already is a lot of people are using the tools because of the integrations. And there's more integrations to come, but integrating CRM and Yammer and CRM and SharePoint and SharePoint and Yammer and user voice in Yammer and Facebook in Yammer and all these things, like, they're using it because now they don't have to go to seven different places. They can just go to either or, and they're going to get the content they need. So think about integrations that you can do, because that's really key to just keep more people aware of what's going on. Let's see. I think that is it. I do have a couple of slides here with other sessions. No. These are other sessions here at the conference for social. If you don't know, take a look at those. And the social booth and down in the Ask the Experts, or ask me if you want. I know a little bit about this stuff. And then, you know, here's some sites and blogs and videos and stuff that if you want to search for Yammer and Office 365. I think we have 5 minutes or so for questions. Yep. I think maybe he has to turn it on. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so the question was on the cycling team, why we didn't just go with Yammer first. Because they wanted a more of a traditional intranet to store documents. So, yeah, that's basically the only reason we did that first.
So I want to give you a shout out. So I bought a Trek 720 in 1985.
Awesome.
I'm serious, okay?
It still works.
Still works. And I went on a bike ride last summer in Montana. It was about a 45-mile bike ride. And got a flat tire like 1 mile before the end of the ride.
Yeah.
And that was the first flat I ever got on that bike. That's a true story.
Wow. That's awesome.
Great bikes.
Yeah, thank you. Any other questions? Cool.